You're listening to Dairy Voice by Dairy Business News, a podcast exclusively for the dairy industry.
One of our sponsors of the Dairy Voice podcast is National DHIA. NDHIA ensures information accuracy and represents their members' interests. They are the direct voice for the dairy information industry. To find out more, go to dhia.org.
Dairy One's Soil Laboratory provides a variety of industries with soil testing and analysis. For most of our customers, their businesses literally start from the ground up. A soil analysis will help our customers ensure that the right nutrients are available in the soil or if additional fertilizers are needed. These decisions will impact their plant growth and yield. If you need to improve your soil's health, Dairy One is ready to help. Contact the Dairy One Soil Laboratory by emailing soil@dairyone.com. That's dairyone.com.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in your day. Welcome to the Dairy Voice podcast by Dairy Business News. I'm your host, Connie Cooper, with Seal Pro Silage Barrier Films by Connor AgriScience. So today we're talking more about dairy beef. Last December, we spoke about this subject, and today we're going to dive a little deeper into the nutritional needs of dairy beef calves and how to raise them so they can be reach their fullest potential as a meat producing animal. So the opportunity for dairy farmers to diversify yet again, adding a new revenue stream without a large capital investment, is very attractive. But before we go head first into feeding dairy beef, let's learn more about it, because these animals are different and their nutrition and handling may not be the same as what you're used to on your dairy. So today, my guest is Melissa Holtz, Technical Calf Nutrition and Business Manager for Purina Animal Nutrition. Welcome, Melissa, to the Dairy Voice podcast.
Thank you for having me, Connie, and thank you for the time today. I have been with Purina for almost 25 years, started right out of college as a livestock production specialist and dairy nutritionist in central Minnesota. I did that for about 10 years, and then I rolled into the position of a regional calf and heifer specialist, where I took over the whole state of Minnesota to help our nutritionists develop their calf programs. And then after a few years at that, I became what I am today. And I've worked for the animal milk division for almost 12 years and had a great opportunity to meet a lot more people, see a lot more variety of farms across a quarter of the US and sometimes even more. So I've had a great opportunity to visit a vast variety of operations and see what they have going on, and hopefully can give you some good insights today on what we're talking about with the beef cross calves.
This has just started up in the last few years, correct? This dairy beef raising.
Yeah, it's been a new market for our dairy producers to put a little more value into the beef products that they are providing. So it is taken off when people are right-sizing their dairies, looking at the number of replacements and how they utilize genetics to improve their production and what they're looking for to reach their herd goals. And with that, they're trying to add value by utilizing some mostly black-hided calves for their beef offspring and utilizing those and having some value add to the supply chain.
Well, let's start out. It's my understanding that a large majority of the dairy beef crossbred calves are not grown where they're born. So knowing this, let's talk about what things calf raisers should consider or do before the calves get to the farm. Or I guess on your own farm, if there's things that you should consider doing differently than what you normally would raise dairy calves.
That's a really good point with how you ended there, is how you would do things differently. And I think most people are choosing to do things the same when it comes to baby heifer calves or baby bull calves, because both of them have an extremely high value to the dairy operation. So that is one thing that I've noticed in the last few years, that producers are really paying a lot of attention to these baby bull calves because they do have such a high demand for them and they have a high value. Not that they weren't a value before, but everything is, there's only so much time during the day and you have to do what you can do to get everything done. And so colostrum is probably the most valuable food that a calf is ever going to get in its life. And I do see that a lot more people are paying attention to that to make sure that those beef cross calves are getting the quality colostrum that they need to. If you are purchasing calves, if you're bringing them in and they're wet navelled, there's a possibility that you could add a little bit more colostrum or make some transition milk to try to help make sure that they got enough IgGs. If it's older than that, getting colostrum once they get to your calf ranch for prevention of failure of passive transfer is probably not going to be a good option. But there are other benefits to feeding colostrum longer term that we can see in these calves. But getting them off to a good start with proper colostrum is huge. Making sure that they are born in a place that is as sanitary as it can be. Clean bedding, dry bedding, making sure that you get that calf taken care of, processed quickly after birth so that you can get that colostrum in, get the navel dipped, sanitized, making sure that you have that taken care of so that you don't allow any extra bacteria to enter the calf through that navel opening. Those are very important as far as getting the calves off to a good start.
Transform dairy data from numbers into valuable decision-making information with HerdHQ, the ultimate web-based platform brought to you by DRMS. Leverage advanced analytics, benchmarking, and alert systems to optimize productivity, minimize costs, and improve herd health. If you're part of the Beef on Dairy movement, check out Keeper Beef. Love your iPhone or iPad? CalCompass will provide you with extensive animal and herd information, no matter what type of device you use. Do you like charts and graphs? Check out Dairy Depot, with over 100 charts and tables. HerdHQ is available to all herds that process their DHI data with DRMS. Don't miss out on this game-changing dairy management solution. Contact DRMS today to schedule a demo.
Is there anything that we need to prepare differently as far as housing goes?
Not necessarily as far as housing goes for the babies, but one thing that's very important is if someone is coming to pick them up, your name is on those calves. So check out the trailer. Whoever's picking them up, make sure that that trailer is clean, that it looks clean, that there's not manure all over it, and that the bedding is clean and dry when you put the calves into it. Because if you've given those calves a great start, you want to make sure that that maintains through the next step until they get where they're going to be grown. So making sure that you pay attention to that is very, very important as well.
Good advice. So we've got the calves on the ground. We're going to take care of them the first few days. You mentioned colostrum. What do we do those first few days of life?
So if the calves are on the dairy the first few days of life, I would say take care of them just as you do your heifer calves, making sure that you get that colostrum first, hopefully second feeding as well, possibly some transition milk or else onto either pasteurized milk with a balancer type supplement in it or milk replacer, making sure that you get the proper temperature into the calf, get them off to a good start, mix it properly, feed it at the same time every day, just as you would treat your heifer calves so that you have the ability to get those calves off to a fantastic start.
Nutritionally, kind of the same as the regular dairy heifer would be the first few days of life. But then after that, are there changes that we're going to make and when do we do that?
So we've done a significant amount of research, by we, I mean our team down at the Purina Animal Nutrition Center, on what these beef cross calves need and how their needs are different than straight Holstein bull calves or native beef calves. So with that 5+ years of research, number of calves going all the way through the supply chain and seeing what's happening with these calves, we have found that it's very important to have the right protein and energy balance for these calves. And if we don't, we're giving things up right away early in life. So the things that you set early in life in the first 8 to 12 weeks really do set the foundation for their entire lifetime. So if you get them off to a good start or you get them off to a poor start, that's kind of how they're going to maintain the whole way through their life stages. With that being said, again, the proper protein to fat ratio in that milk replacer and the proper feeding rate, because they need to be fed in order to grow proper muscle. Muscle is what we're selling at the end. Right. And to make that muscle, we need protein. So we have to make sure that we have that balance in there properly so that these calves can utilize and get the best feed efficiency out of this time period when they're most feed efficient in their life. If we feed our baby calves 1.8 pounds of milk replacer at the right protein fat ratio, we can get a very feed efficient calf. When that steer is towards the end and it's eating 20 to 25 pounds of dry matter and gaining 2 to 3 pounds a day, that's not nearly as feed efficient as it is when it's a baby calf. So there's multiple reasons to feed those baby calves right, but getting them off to a solid start and making the right type of product that we want for our end is very important. And we can set that foundation by how we feed these babies.
Is there a nutritional need basis for these dairy beef crossbred calves as they go through? Is there an NRC set of values for them or...
Yeah, we can use the dairy NRC for milk replacer values, but it's very important to know that on top of just utilizing that, having the actual calf research to back what it says, because it's not always spot on, but that's where it comes in to make sure that when you're choosing your nutrition program, that we understand what your goals are for these calves and that we help build that program based on what your goals are. If you really want to get the most feed efficient calf you can and set that muscle foundation early in life, there's a program for that. If you want to keep the calves alive and get it to the next person, and that's what you want to do, that's your goal. We understand that. And we have a program for that. Gotcha. But we need to have that conversation and then making sure that people understand that having the research to back those programs is really important because it's more than just the NRC numbers that go into the final product that's going to be fed to those babies.
The pre-weaning phase is a critical time. What about the transition between milk-fed and onto the new diet?
That is extremely critical. That's a really good question. And it's something that we've been spending a lot of time on recently because of how traditionally, I could say, dairy beef calves have been fed on a lower plane of nutrition and they're a smaller animal when they're weaned. That means they don't have enough space or enough room and capacity to really eat enough dry feed to help them maintain enough calories to grow like they should. So with these beef calves, they are going at it like native beef calves. They are growing. They're taking in everything they can. They're very feed efficient. So if we give them the time that they need, upwards of 8 weeks on milk is very, very important to these calves because we've shown through research that last week between week 7 and week 8 gives them so much additional growth and they can get to 300 pounds a lot quicker than calves that are weaned a week earlier even, because they're so feed efficient and they're growing so well on that. That calf is gaining 1.5 to 2 pounds a day in a week. That's 15 pounds. You think about how much 15 pounds more growth gives you as far as capacity to take in dry feed.
Right.
So when we're doing that way, we're encouraging these calves to eat more dry feed earlier and because they're bigger, because of how we fed them when they're younger, they have the ability to take in more feed. And that seems to be easing that transition some. Now, it definitely doesn't work for everyone. But what we've seen and where we've seen it flourish is when those calves get that early nutrition and we cut them to once a day feeding that week we're going to wean them. And then they naturally increase their starter intake a lot more. And then keeping them on that same starter feed for a week or two after they're weaned is really important too, because the least things that we can change at once is really important. We've seen places where they wean them, they move them, they put them in group housing, and they change their feed all at the same time. So they went from a full feed banquet right in front of their face twice a day to where in the world is my food, where's my water, and who are all these other things I'm running around with. Helping to ease those transitions is another area that really will help that calf flourish long term. So trying to maintain the smaller number of things that we do at once to help them have an easier transition every time we have to have a transition.
Have you run out of silage? Had to buy expensive, marked up feed to fill the gap? Maybe production's dropped due to lower dry matter intakes. Are molds or mycotoxins creeping through your piles or bunkers? And pitching the rot is a dangerous pain. Oxygen is the enemy. Pack it out, then keep it out with Seal Pro, the professional grade silage barrier film protection chosen by top professional farmers like you. Make more, better, safer silage with Seal Pro. Learn more at sealprosilage.com.
There's something that I have been reading about and learning about is liver abscess in dairy beef and how it's a big problem when they get to the end of towards the finishing stage. And what I've read is lower body weight, carcass yield is not as good. The dressing percentage is not as high. And this seems to happen more often in this cross than not than in straight beef animals. So what can you tell us about that, and how can we help these calves so that we have a lesser chance of that happening?
Well, one thing I look at when I get faced with that question is, if the native beef calves are not having these issues with liver abscesses, what's different between them and the beef crosses that we're raising?
Right.
Well, one is that those calves are typically on their dam for upwards of 6 months, and they're weaned at 500 to 600 pounds. We don't have the ability to do that in these situations. The facilities wouldn't handle it. The people wouldn't handle it. It just wouldn't work. So we have to try to do what we've done with dairy calves in the past, but get them to a more biologically normal state like a native beef calf would be grown. So that's where the research comes in, and where programs such as the Prime Star program to get these calves off to a good start, more feeding them more like what biologically normal would be if they were suckling on their dam, and trying to get them to a bigger size, more like they would be if they were suckling at any at free choice from their dam. Mm-hmm. And then ease those transitions. So I can't give you an exact reason as to why these Holstein crosses are having more liver abscesses, but what I can tell you is, if you start out with the proper nutrition and focusing on getting a healthy microbiome to these calves, working on the transitions, making sure that you have the right feeds in and not sitting on the edge of acidosis all the time, all of those things can aid in prevention of that later in life. So if we work hard from the beginning to create a healthy gut environment for this calf, that is going to flourish for the rest of their life. If their gut is unhealthy right from the start, and if they're smaller and have had some things where they're teetering on acidosis throughout their young life, then that also will continue. So we're really trying to focus on making sure that we have the nutrition sound, building on that with a healthy microbiome, making sure we have the right calories, and then working on management things to help producers understand how we can tweak things, make their life easier, and make transitions easier for the calves.
It sounds like this raising dairy beef calves requires a different mindset. It's also needs to be taken seriously, and the whole idea of it being much more important than just having a bunch of steers that are out in the lot and you just kind of toss them whatever.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. That's a huge value add in our supply chain right now, whether it's straight Holsteins right. or beef cross calves. We're at a very low number of beef cattle in our country right now. And to support American agriculture, we need to be self-sufficient. We need to continue to do more of our own raising of these kind of cattle. And we want to make sure that we keep them alive so that they get to the end of our supply chain. And the way to get that done is to make sure that you start them off right and keep them growing at the proper trajectory.
You had said that you worked with farmers across the Midwest and across the country. How can a farmer get a hold of their local Purina representative to ask questions about feeding these calves?
Well, you can reach out to your local Purina feed dealer and ask them for one of our representatives to get in touch with them. You mm-hmm. can go to purinamills.com, or we also have a purinamills.com dairy beef site, so you can get more information on that. Goodness. So there's lots of different ways to reach out and find that information. And I can guarantee you, we have a lot of helpful people out there, a lot of boots on the ground that are ready and willing to help people reach their goals.
We work with our own silage business. We are starting to work more and more with beef industry people, and they are very interested in learning how to feed these animals at the feedlot stage. So it's great to know that there's resources for people at the beginning of these calves' lives too, that we can do a better job all the way through. So that's great. Okay. Well, we've talked about a lot of things here today. We've talked about how to start these calves out, the facilities we need, the kinds of nutrition that we need, what we need to do as far as weaning, and how we can help them transition to a growing stage of their life. Is there anything that you have to add, Melissa, that we didn't cover that you wanted to talk about?
I think just getting these little ones off to a good start is the key. It's the baseline to making sure that we get them all the way through the program to finish. Making sure that everyone understands that there are people out there that can help them reach their goals, whatever their goals may be, and how important it is to have research on the products and the programs that you're going to be using to know that they are really going to work. We have people throughout all 50 states. We have a ton of research at our Purina Animal Nutrition Center. And we also open up our Purina Animal Nutrition Center for calf and heifer VIPs, beef cross VIPs, and a lot of feedlot VIPs. So if we have producers out there that are looking to really get more information and see where this research is done, I highly encourage you to reach out to your local Purina representative for more information on one of those.
Well, thank you. This is such an interesting and exciting subject. I've just got to think that there are dairy farmers who would be able to diversify their income and do very well for themselves with this whole dairy beef cross, and then the beef industry as well. So thank you so much, Melissa. We've been talking to Melissa Holtz, the technical calf nutrition and business manager for Purina Animal Nutrition. And we've been talking about raising high quality dairy beef crossbred calves. This is Connie Cooper with Seal Pro Silage Barrier Film by Connor AgriScience. You've been listening to the Dairy Voice podcast by Dairy Business News. Thanks for subscribing, liking, and sharing this podcast. And I'll see you all again very soon.